This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. We'll begin from ayah number 87. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. And we did certainly give Musa alayhi salam the book. وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ. And followed up after him with messengers. We learn from this ayah that the Bani Israel were not just sent a messenger, but they were sent a messenger and a book. And after the messenger was gone, they weren't just left with a book, but rather messengers were sent to them one after the other, so that there was no time in which the Bani Israel did not have a messenger. And then the last messenger who was sent to them was وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. And we gave Isa alayhi salam, the son of Maryam, clear proofs and supported him with the pure spirit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions the Bani Israel that I gave you guidance. I sent so many messengers to you with clear signs, with clear evidences, so that it's easier for you to believe. What did you do? أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ. But is it not that every time a messenger came to you, O children of Israel, بِمَا لَا تَهُوَا أَنفُسُكُمْ, with what your souls did not desire, إِسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ, you were arrogant. What does it mean by you were arrogant? They did not accept. They did not believe. And as a result of this arrogance, what did they do? فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبَتُمْ, and a party of the messengers you denied. وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ, and another group of the messengers you killed. So we see in this ayah that the Bani Israel were ungrateful for the guidance even that was sent to them. They weren't just ungrateful for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to them, but they were specifically ungrateful for the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed them with. Over here we see how they dealt with the messengers. Some of the messengers they completely denied. They said, you are liars. And other messengers, they went to the extent of killing them. Now I want you to notice something over here in the ayah. فَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. Do you remember about the words that begin with a ya or a ta or an alif or a noon? I mentioned this to you earlier. They represent verbs that are of either the present tense or the future tense. Right? So, تَقْتُلُونَ is a verb that is indicating present or future. And if you look at the word كَذَّبْتُمْ, this verb is of past tense. It's not تُكَذِّبُونَ. What is it? كَذَّبْتُمْ. كَذَّبْتُمْ indicates an action that was done in the past. And تَقْتُلُونَ, not قَتَلْتُمْ, this is a verb that indicates an action that is done in the present or the future. Now why is this so? How come كَذَّبَتُمْ is mentioned, denial is mentioned in the past tense, and killing is mentioned in the present tense? There are several reasons that are given. First of all, it has been said that تَقْتُلُونَ has been mentioned in the present tense. Past events have been mentioned in the present tense to show as if they are being done right now as well. To show how wrong these actions are, that they are not forgotten. It is to narrate something that happened in the past, in the present tense, to show that this crime has not been forgotten. It is still alive. It is still seen in you. And also it has been said that تَقْتُلُونَ has been mentioned in this tense, not in the past tense, but in the present future tense. Why? In order to match the rhyme of the verses. Because if you notice, all of these verses, they end with oon sound, or een sound. So تَقْتُلُونَ, you all kill. Another reason has been given, which is that they continued this act of killing the messengers up until the time of the Prophet ﷺ. You see, Isa a.s., they tried to kill him. And the Prophet ﷺ, they attempted many times to kill him. the story that I mentioned to you earlier of the time when a group of people, they went up the building against which the Prophet ﷺ was reclining, and they had intended to throw a huge rock from above in order to throw upon him, in order to kill him. And this was done by the Bani Israel of that time. So they attempted many times to kill the Prophet ﷺ. At another occasion, which was at the conquest of Khaybar, what happened was that a woman from among the Bani Israel, she brought some meat for the Prophet ﷺ. And that meat had been poisoned. And some of the companions, they ate from that meat, and one of them also passed away. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrated that the Prophet ﷺ, in his ailment in which he died, he used to say that, "Oh Aisha, I still feel the pain caused by the food that I ate at Khaybar. I still feel the pain of that food that I ate at that time. And at this time, I feel as if my aorta is being cut from that poison." And this is mentioned in Bukhari. So one of the causes of the death of the Prophet ﷺ was what? The food that the Bani Israel gave to him, which had poison in it. So taqtulun, they were continuing in this action up until the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But then the question arises that taqtulun, yes, they tried to kill him, but kadhabtum, they also did takdeeb of the Prophet ﷺ. Isn't that so? So how come that is not mentioned in the present future tense? The reason is that qatl is worse than takdeeb. Qatl, killing, is worse than denial. This is why qatl has been mentioned in this tense and denial has not been mentioned in the present tense. So we learn from this ayah that the Bani Israel tried to finish off all the means of guidance. They altered the book, they changed the book, they didn't follow the book completely, they followed parts of the book, they denied parts of the book. If the messengers came to them, they either denied them or they went to the extent of killing them. And then when the Prophet ﷺ came to them, what did they do? Allah says, وَقَالُوا, and they said, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْف, our hearts are wrapped up. قُلُوب is a plural of قَلْب. And the word غُلْف is from the root letters غَيْن لَمْ فَ. It is from the root letters غَيْن لَمْ فَ. And the word غُلْف is understood in two ways. First of all, it has been said that غُلْف is the plural of أَغْلَف. It is the plural of أَغْلَف. From the root letters غَيْن لَمْ فَ. And أَغْلَف is that which is wrapped up. What is أَغْلَف? That which is wrapped up. That which is covered. That which is enveloped by something. So just imagine a book that has a case, that has a cover. You know how many times people have a case for their mushaf? A cover for their mushaf? So, غُلْف is what? That which is covered up with something. That which is enclosed within something. For example, it is said, غَلَّفْتُ السَّيْف. What is a سَيْف? A sword. So, غَلَّفْتُ meaning I put it in the cover. Okay? I covered it. I put it in its sheath. So, غُلْف, first of all, means that which is covered up. So, what do they mean by this? That our hearts are covered up. Meaning our hearts are wrapped up in covers. And our hearts are blocked from comprehending what you're telling us. Because when something is covered in something, when something is wrapped up, it is almost as though it is inaccessible. It doesn't take the effect of that which is happening outside. For example, if you put something in a waterproof case, what's going to happen? Even if you throw that thing in the water, is the water going to reach that particular thing which is covered up? No. So similarly, they say that our hearts are covered up, meaning our hearts cannot comprehend what you say. What you're saying does not make sense to us. We cannot comprehend. And this is an excuse that the Bani Israel would offer as a justification for their denial, as a justification for their turning away from the Qur'an. We don't understand what you're saying. We don't understand the Qur'an. It doesn't make sense to me. I can't understand it. So, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. This is the first meaning of this particular part of the ayah. Secondly, it has been said that the word غُلْف is actually غُلُف. You know how there are several recitations of the Qur'an, several ways of reciting the Qur'an? Inshallah, you will learn about that detail in Ulum al-Qur'an, in the sciences of the Qur'an. But the word غُلْف has another recitation which is غُلُف, with a dhamma on the lam. And if you read the word غُلْف as غُلُف, it is the plural of the word غِلَاف. It is the plural of the word غِلَاف. And غِلَاف is used for treasure. What does غِلَاف mean? A مَخْزَن, a treasure. So what does it mean by this? وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ. What they mean is that our hearts are full with a treasure. Which treasure is this that they're referring to? Our hearts are already full with knowledge. Our hearts are already full with knowledge. So in other words, we don't need what you're telling us. We don't need what you brought. What we know is enough. What we have learned is enough. What you're teaching us, we have no need of it. What you have brought to us, we don't need it at all. What we have is enough. So what do they mean by that? What do they mean by that? That we don't need the Qur'an. This was also another justification that they offered for not believing in the Qur'an. Which is that we don't need it. We have enough. And also what they mean by this is that if what you have brought was really the truth, it would have entered into our hearts. For we already have so much knowledge. We know so much already. So if we don't understand what you're telling us, if we're not accepting what you're telling us, the problem is not with us. The problem is with you. This is what they mean. And many times we find that people who have not studied the Qur'an at all, who have not studied the deen at all, they think that just by having a PhD in chemistry or in physics or sociology or something like that, they think that they have enough knowledge to understand the Qur'an with it. And when they don't understand the Qur'an, they say, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. So this was the way of the Bani Israel as well, that they considered the knowledge that they had to be enough, to be sufficient. And if they could not accept the Qur'an, they didn't blame themselves, but instead they blamed the Qur'an. Now the question is, if we take the first meaning of the ayah, that our hearts are wrapped up, meaning our hearts are blocked, are prevented from understanding what you tell us, the question is, why don't they understand? Why don't they understand? Because they're saying, we don't understand what you're telling us. So the question is, why is it that they don't understand? Allah tells us. Bal rather, لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. Allah has cursed them because of their disbelief. The word bal gives the meaning of rather. Do you remember the word bala? Doesn't it sound similar? What's the difference between the two? Bala has a yatiyan and bal does not have a yatiyan. And there is a difference in the meaning as well. Bala is used for yes. Bala is used for yes. And bal is slightly different, in that bal cancels and negates the previous statement, and it tells us what the reality is. Okay? And bala is what? It negates or cancels the previous statement, and it says, yes, on the contrary, the reality is this. But bal says, no, this is not true, instead, such and such. So bal, rather. لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. لَعَنَ is from the root letters, lam, عَيْن, نُون, from the word لَعْنَ. لَعْنَ is curse. And what is لَعْنَ? When a person is removed far away from the mercy of Allah. When a person is removed far away from the mercy of Allah. So Allah says, Allah has cursed them. And as a result of this curse, as a result of being away from the mercy of Allah, they don't understand. Now the question is, why has Allah cursed them? Why has He removed them away from His mercy? بِكُفْرِهِمْ, because of their own disbelief. Which disbelief? Because of their disbelief in the messengers. Because of their disbelief in the Prophet ﷺ. And as a result, فَقَلِيلًا مَّا يُؤْمِنُونَ, so very little is their belief. Their belief is minimal. The word قَلِيل is from قَافْ لَامْ لَامْ قِلَّة, which means that which is less. So قَلِيل, little, مَا قَلِيلًا مَا, little, مَا. What does it mean by this مَا? This مَا has been understood in several ways. First of all, مَا is understood as extra. It is زَائِد. And remember I told you earlier as well that an extra letter or extra word does not mean that it is useless. But rather what it means is that you don't understand it in its literal sense. So for example, مَا generally means what or that which or not, right? But over here, you don't translate ma as that which or not, okay? But you keep it as extra. You don't translate it. Why is it extra? To give emphasis. So remember that every za'id word, every extra word, is not understood in its literal sense, but at the same time, it is not useless. Why is it there? To give emphasis. So what does it mean by ma over here? قَلِيلًا مَا. Ma over here is emphasizing the littleness. So قَلِيلًا مَا, meaning very little, very minimal, very less, is what? يُؤْمِنُونَ, they believe. So in other words, their belief is very little. Their belief is minimal. So this is one way of understanding what ma means over here. And what is that? That ma is za'id, it is extra. Others have said that ma over here is not extra, it is not za'id, but it gives a meaning of man. What does man mean? Not min, man, who. So qalilan ma yu'minun means qalilan man yu'minun. In other words, very few of them believe. A few, man, who, yu'minun, they believe. So in other words, it is very few of the Bani Israel who have iman. And this is true. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, very few of the Bani Israel, they accepted Islam. They accepted the Qur'an, the Prophet ﷺ. So قَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ means قَلِيلًا مَنْ يُؤْمِنُونَ, meaning very few of them believe. Another way of understanding this part of the ayah is قَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, مَا gives the meaning of that which. مَا gives the meaning of that which. It does not mean زَائِد, it does not mean who, but instead it means that which. So what does it mean? That their belief is little. Their belief is little. What does it mean by that? That very little is that which they believe in. You see, they were given the entire Torah. They were sent so many messengers. Did they believe in all of them? Did they believe in all of the Torah? No. They believed in only a little portion of the Torah. They believed in only a few of the messengers. Not all, but only a few. So what it means is that very little is that which they believe in of what they have been given. Their belief is not complete, but rather they believe in only a fraction of what they're supposed to believe in. Do you understand this meaning as well? Now you might say, how come so many different meanings, they don't contradict each other? Okay? All of these meanings are relevant. So you see, one word, depending on how you understand it, it gives us so many different meanings. And all of these meanings are relevant. First of all, very, very little. Secondly, very, very few. Thirdly, only a fraction. Very little is it that they believe in. Another way of understanding this is that ما indicates time. It indicates time. So what does it mean by that? That they believe for a very short time. They believe for a very short time. And soon, they return to their ways of hypocrisy. For example, some people from among the Bani Israel, what they would do is, it is mentioned in the Quran, that they would say, آمِنُوا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَجْهَ النَّهَارِ. That believe in what has been revealed to these people, meaning believe in what the Muslims believe in, at the beginning of the day, and then disbelieve at the end of the day. So what would they do? They would become believers, Muslim, in the morning, and by Isha time they would say, no, I don't think this is true. And they would revert back to their disbelief. So Allah says they believe for a very short time. They believe for a very short time. This has been understood in one more way. And that is, that what this means is, فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. What this means is that they don't believe at all. Because the Arabs, they would use this expression to imply nothing. They would use this expression, قَلِيلًا مَا, to imply nothing. So what it means is, they don't believe at all. Neither less nor more. Neither a few of them nor more of them. They don't believe at all. فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So we see from this ayah that when a person keeps rejecting, he keeps on denying one thing after the other. Because what were they doing? They were denying one messenger after the other, disbelieving in one messenger after the other. What happens as a result? He is removed from the mercy of Allah. He is removed from the mercy of Allah. بَلْ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Why? بِكُفْرِهِمْ. Because of their own disbelief. And the result of that is that a person is not able to believe. Now, keeping this entire ayah in mind, what lessons do we learn from this entire ayah? First of all, we learn that Musa alayhi salam was also a messenger who was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance of Bani Israel. Also we learn that Isa alayhi salam was also a messenger. He was not the son of God. Who was he? A messenger of Allah. Because Allah sent him as a guide, as a messenger to who? To the Bani Israel. So he was also a messenger. Also we learn from this ayah that the angels, they have been given several different tasks to perform. Isn't it? And one of the things that the angels are supposed to do is what? Provide assistance to the believers. Because over here, we learn that أَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. Isa a.s. was supported by who? By the angel Jibreel. So one of the tasks that the angels are given is to support the believers, to assist the believers, and this is obviously at the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also we learn from this ayah that some people, they don't accept the truth. Why? Simply because it doesn't suit them. Simply because it doesn't suit them. Because over here Allah says that every time a messenger brought to you what? بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ. Every time a messenger brought to you something that you yourselves did not like, you yourselves did not desire, what did you do? اِسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ. You disbelieved. You were arrogant, meaning you denied. So what does this tell us? That sometimes people become arrogant from accepting the truth. Why? Simply because it does not suit them. Also we learn from this ayah that sometimes people present excuses for not accepting the truth, which are completely invalid. Sometimes people offer justifications which are completely invalid. For example, over here they're saying, our hearts are wrapped up. Is that really an excuse? Or, we have a lot of knowledge already. Is that really an excuse? No. Many times when people are told, come and study the Quran, what do they say? Yeah, I've taken many courses of the deen. I studied the Quran when I was a child. But did you really study the meaning of the Quran? This is wrong. This is incorrect mentality. This is something that is disliked. Offering excuses that are completely invalid for not accepting the truth. Then Allah says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And when a book came to them from Allah. Which book is this? This book over here refers to the Qur'an. And the word for book is كِتَابٌ, book. Notice the word كِتَابٌ ends with a tanween. Remember why a word is nakira? Remember why a word is nakira? Because a word that ends with tanween is a word that is nakira. Why is a noun nakira? Sometimes to show greatness. Other times to show any. Just as the word waylun. Waylun. A woe. What does that indicate? A big woe. Great destruction. So over here, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ, a book came to them. It doesn't mean any book came to them, but rather it means that very important book came to them, meaning the Qur'an. So when the Qur'an came to them, مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, from Allah. And this also highlights the greatness of the Qur'an. The Qur'an has been, you know, magnified over here. How? By using the word كِتَابٌ, and also by saying مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. So first of all, it's a great book. Secondly, it's a great book. Why? Because it has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Qur'an, what is the characteristic of the Qur'an? Allah says, مُصَدِّقٌ. It is one that confirms. مُصَدِّق is from صَاد دَال قَاف. What's the meaning of تَصْدِيق? To call someone truthful. Remember? مُصَدِّق. We have done this word before. مُصَدِّق is from صِدْق. What does صِدْق mean? Truthfulness. مُصَدِّق is one who does تَصْدِيق. What is تَصْدِيق? To call someone صَادِق. To call someone true. What's the opposite of this? كَذَّبَ. كَذَّبْتُمْ. تَكْذِيب. مُكَذِّب. What does that mean? One who calls the other a كَذِب. So over here, the Qur'an is مُصَدِّق. It is confirming. What is it confirming? لِمَا مَعْهُمْ, for that which is with them. What is it that the people of the book had? What is it that the Bani Israel had? The Torah. And if you also include the Christians in this, it includes the Injil. It also includes the Zabur. So مُصَدِّقُ لِمَا مَعْهُمْ, the Qur'an confirms that which is with them. How does the Qur'an confirm that which is with them? In what way? In two ways. Content-wise, that it has the same teachings, it conveys the same message, and also what the Torah said about the Qur'an was indeed true, or what the Torah stated about the Prophet ﷺ happened. So content-wise. And secondly also, authenticity-wise. That the Qur'an states that the Torah and the Injil are indeed from Allah. So when this kitab came to them, and this kitab confirms that which is with them, وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ, and they were from before. Meaning the people of the book, the Bani Israel, مِنْ قَبْلُ, before. Before what? Before the Qur'an came. Before the Prophet ﷺ came. Up until that time, these same people, what were they doing? Allah says, يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. They were seeking victory against those people who have disbelieved. يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ is from فَتْح. فَتَحَ. We did the word فَتَحَ earlier. We have done فَاتِحَ. What does it mean? To open. And فَتْح is also used for conquest. Victory. It is also used for victory. And the word فَتْح is also used for a judgment, a decision. The word فَتْح is also used for judgment or decision. Now what's the connection between all of this? The primary meaning of the word is to open something. When an army conquers a place, what happens? That place is opened up to them. The doors of that place are opened up to them. Similarly, فَتْح is used for a decision. Why? Because it opens up the reality. It opens up what has to be done. What is true and what is not true. It's a decision. So over here, يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ. Do you see the seen and the ta? What does that indicate? Seeking. So yastaftihuna means they were seeking fatḥ. They were praying for fatḥ. What is the meaning of fatḥ over here? Over here, fatḥ gives the meaning of victory. So before the Qur'an came to them, the people of the book, the Bani Israel, what were they doing? They were seeking victory. They were praying for victory. From who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Victory against who? Upon who? عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Upon the disbelievers. Now who does الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا refer to? الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا refers to the Arabs. Because before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, what were the two groups over there? What were the two groups over there? The group of the mushrikeen and the group of the Bani Israel. And before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Bani Israel were the believers of their time. Who were they? The believers of their time. So anyone who was not of them was who? A disbeliever. So الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا refers to the Arabs. So the Bani Israel, up until the time of the Prophet ﷺ, what were they doing? They were praying for victory against the disbelievers. Now the question is, what victory were they praying for and how? Basically, the Jews who resided in Medina, as we learned yesterday, that they had alliances with the Arab tribes. Right? They had alliances with the Arab tribes. But we also learn that they were also in conflict with the Arabs. They were also in conflict with the Arabs. Just imagine a place in which you have the original people of that particular place, and then you have immigrants as well. So what happens? Initially there is acceptance, and eventually, as the differences become more and more evident, things become, relationships become worse. Right? Conflicts arise. So similarly, the Yahud, the Bani Israel, they were in conflict with the Arabs as well. And whenever such conflicts would come up, whenever there were small conflicts or anything like that, they would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send them the final messenger so that they could be victorious against those people, against the Arabs. So they would pray to Allah, O Allah, send the messenger, send the Savior, so that we can be victorious over these non-believers. Because they were still a minority over there. And in order to have the upper hand, they needed some leader. And they were waiting for that leader. And that leader was who? The messenger. So Allah says that when the Qur'an came to them, and before the Qur'an came to them, up until the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, up until the coming of the Qur'an, what were these people doing? They were praying for victory. How? They would say, O Allah, send your messenger so that we can be victorious. But what happened when the book did come to them, when the messenger did come to them, when their prayers were answered? Allah says, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ Then, when came to them, what came to them? مَا عَرَفُوا What they recognized. The word عَرَفُوا is from the root letters عَيْن رَافَ From the word مَعْرِفَ And مَعْرِفَ is to recognize something. What is مَعْرِفَ? To recognize something. It is also said that مَعْرِفَ is to have distinct and specific knowledge of something. To know the specifics of something. To not just know, okay, yes, you know, this is an apple. But to know which type of apple is it. To not just know, okay, this is a gadget. No, but to know which type of a gadget is it. How much memory does it have? What functions does it do? What can I do with this? This is what ma'rifah is. To have distinct and specific knowledge of something. So over here Allah says that when what came to them? That which they recognized. What is this referring to? It refers to the Qur'an, it refers to the Prophet ﷺ. And notice the word that has been used. They recognized the Qur'an. They recognized the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because they met the exact description that was given in their books. And we learn in the Qur'an, Allah says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ they recognize the Prophet ﷺ just as they recognize their own sons. If there are a whole lot of boys, if there are a whole lot of children, and your son is amongst them, will you be able to find him? Of course. In the exact same way they were able to recognize the Prophet ﷺ. So when he came and they recognized him, when their prayers were answered, what did they do? كَفَرُوا بِهِ. They disbelieved in it. They disbelieved in the Qur'an, they disbelieved in the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah says, فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. So the curse of Allah upon the disbelievers. We learned in the previous ayah that they would say, our hearts are wrapped up. Why? Why wouldn't they understand? Why wouldn't they accept? بَلْ لَعْنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. Rather, Allah has cursed them because of their disbelief. So which disbelief is it? Disbelief in the Qur'an, in the Prophet ﷺ, after recognizing them. After recognizing their truthfulness. So over here we see that the reality of the Bani Israel has been opened up. They recognized the messenger. They made dua for his coming. But when he came, they denied him. So Allah says, بِئْسَمَا. How bad it is. How bad is what? اِشْتَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ. That which they have sold themselves for. The word بِئْسَمَا is a combination of بِئْسَ and مَا. And just as in قَلِيلًا مَا, we understood مَا in several ways, similarly بِئْسَمَا is understood in several ways. Primarily two ways. First of all, it is said that مَا over here is زَيْد. It is extra, giving the meaning of how bad. Because بِئْسَ is a word that is used to give the meaning of something that is very bad. And it is used to, you can say, reproach or mention the negative aspect of something. Just as when somebody is being praised, it is said ni'mah, how good. So the opposite of that is that the negative side of something or someone is being mentioned. So for that, bi'sa is used. So bi'sama, how bad is that? How very bad. And then, secondly, ma is understood as that which. So, bi'sa, how bad, ma is that which, ishtaraw bihi anfusahum, that which they have sold themselves for. The word ishtaraw is from sheen ra ya. What does it mean? To buy and sell. And depending on the context, you take the meaning. So, over here it gives a meaning of selling. So, how evil is that which they have sold, who? Bihi for it, anfusahum, themselves. So what does it mean? How evil is the price for which they sold themselves for? They sold themselves in order to gain something. They sold themselves in order to gain something. What does it mean by selling themselves? Selling themselves over here means that they sold their akhirah. They gave up their hereafter. They gave up, they sacrificed the reward of the hereafter. They sold themselves, meaning they sold their hereafter. Why? In order to get what? In order to get something of this dunya. And what is it? What is the price that they paid? أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا. That they have disbelieved. Disbelieved in what? بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. In that which Allah has sent. So in other words, by doing kufr, by disbelieving in the Qur'an, what were they doing? They were sacrificing their entire hereafter. So Allah says, how evil it is what they have done. How evil is the price that they have paid, or the price that they have received for selling themselves, for sacrificing their entire hereafter. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent? The Qur'an. بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ, meaning the Qur'an. Now the question is, why did they disbelieve? What is the reason for their disbelief? Allah tells us, بَغْيًا, due to rebellion, due to envy. بَغْيًا, due to rebellion, due to enmity, due to envy. أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah sends down from His bounty on whomsoever He wills. Now the word baghyan is from the root letters ba, ghain, ya. It is from the root letters ba, ghain, ya. And baghi literally means a wish or a desire. What is baghi? A wish or a desire. And then the word baghi is used for the blind following of a desire. What is it? The blind following of a desire. What does it mean by following a desire? To fulfill a desire. And in this process, what does a person do? He transgresses the correct bounds. For example, a person really wants money. Instead of going and working and gaining money, what does he do? He sees the bag of another person and the person is not there. He opens up the bag, he takes out the wallet, he takes the money. So what's the baghi? What's the desire? He wants to get money. And in following this desire, in pursuing this desire, in the process of obtaining this goal, what does he do? He crosses the bounds. He disobeys. So this is the meaning of baghi. Literally it means desire, and then baghi is used for rebellion. Then baghi is used for rebellion, for crossing the bounds. Because a person rebels, a person crosses the appropriate bounds. Why? In order to fulfill his desire. So over here Allah says that they disbelieved. Why? Because of baghi. Because of rebellion. Now what is this rebellion that they committed? What is this rebellion? It refers to jealousy. It refers to envy. It refers to the grudge that they had against the Prophet ﷺ. And what was that grudge? That why is the messenger from the Bani Ismail? How come he is from the Arabs? Why isn't he from amongst us? Why isn't he from among the Bani Israel? So over here, what did they do? They disbelieved because of jealousy. What was their baghi? Allah explains, أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ, that Allah has sent down مِن فَضْلِي, of His fadl. What is fadl? An extra favor that is given to someone. What is fadl? An extra favor. It is excess, it is surplus. An extra favor that is given to someone. So what is this fadl referring to? What is this favor referring to? This favor refers to prophethood. It refers to prophethood. It refers to revelation. It refers to knowledge. So, أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِن فَضْلِهِ, out of His special favor, He has given to who? عَلَى مَن يَشَاءُ مِن عِبَادِهِ, upon whomsoever He wills from among His slaves. عِبَاد is a plural of عَبْد. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who chooses the messenger. He is the one who chooses who to give some fadl to. And instead of accepting this reality, what did the Bani Israel do? They became envious. And they said, why? So in other words, what are they doing? They are objecting the will of Allah. They are objecting the decision of Allah. That how come a messenger has been sent to us from among the illiterates, from among those people who are inferior to us, from those who are lesser than us. And they forget the fact that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chooses the messenger. So, what do we learn from this part of the ayah? That the reason of their denial was what? Pure jealousy. Nothing else. Pure jealousy. Because they looked down upon the Arabs, they considered the Arabs to be inferior, they considered the Arabs to be illiterate, unlettered people. Having a messenger from among them was something very difficult for them to accept. And out of jealousy, out of this denial, what did they do? They disbelieved in the Prophet ﷺ. Were there consequences? Of course there were. What does this show? That if a person does not accept the qadr of Allah as it is, and instead he objects to the decisions of Allah, there are consequences. What were the consequences for them? فَبَاءُ, so they returned. بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ, with anger upon anger. The word بَاءُ is from بَاوَوْ هَمْزَةٍ, and we have done this word earlier as well. بَاءٌ literally means to return. And when this word comes with bi, like you see over here, ba'u bi ghadabin, what does it mean? It is to bring something upon oneself. To draw something upon oneself. To incur. So فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ, they drew upon themselves, they brought down upon themselves, what? غَضَب عَلَى غَضَب, anger upon anger. Now the word غَضَب is from the root letters غَيْنْضَبَ. Remember the word مَغْضُوب? From the same root. And غَضَب is used for anger. What kind of anger is غَضَب? Do you remember? Do you remember what type of anger is غَضَب? Anger that turns into taking revenge. Inflicting punishment. Inflicting harm on the one who has caused the anger. And when does a person have ghadab on the other? Why does a person have ghadab on the other? When the person does something that they knew they should not have done. Or they don't do something they knew they should have done. So over here, the Bani Israel, they knew that they should have believed. But what did they do? They went against that. And as a result, what did they incur? The anger. Anger of who? Anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, if you notice over here, غَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ. Anger upon anger. Anger upon anger doesn't mean only two occasions of anger upon them. But what it means is, this has been understood in several ways. First of all, it has been said that it means anger of Allah and the anger of people. Anger of Allah and the anger of people. Punishment of Allah and opposition from the people. This has been understood in another way as well, that غَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ indicates that غَضَب for one wrong action of theirs and more غَضَب for another wrong action of theirs. So what does it mean? That each time they did something wrong, they incurred the غَضَب of Allah. Each time they did something wrong, they incurred the غَضَب of Allah. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ, and for those people who disbelieve, what is there? عَذَابُ مُهِينَ, a punishment that is humiliating. So far we have read عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Over here we learn عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, humiliating punishment. The word مُهِين is from the root letters هَوَلْنُون, هَوَلْنُون. And the word هَوْن is used for that which is humiliated, that which is less, that which is of little importance, something that is contemptible, something that is very light, something that does not deserve attention. And the word muheen that you see over here is one that brings haun upon the other. One that brings humiliation upon the other. So what is muheen? One that humiliates. So they will have, the disbelievers, they will have a punishment that is going to humiliate them. Notice over here, they did not believe. Why? Why? Why did they not believe? Because of jealousy. And also because of arrogance. Right? Istakbartum. They became arrogant. They said, the Ummiyin, the Arabs, they are much lesser than us. How can we accept that the messenger is from among them? If we accept that the messenger is amongst them, what's going to happen? We are going to lose our leadership. We are going to lose our this status that we have of people of the book. Then everybody will become like us. We will believe in the Qur'an, they will believe in the Qur'an. We will not be special anymore. So it was because of arrogance that they did not believe. Allah says, for such people, there is a punishment that is going to humiliate them. So the punishment is according to the crime that is committed. Punishment is according to the crime that is committed. Now the question is, what punishment is this? Humiliating punishment. This humiliating punishment is understood in two ways. First of all, it is a punishment of hellfire. If you think of it, punishment, no matter what punishment it is humiliating. even if it's something like, you know, not being allowed to go home after school for 15 minutes. Isn't it humiliating? It is. If a person has to pay a fine, even if it is something small as $5, it is humiliating. So adabu muhin, simply because it is adab. And especially because it is the punishment of the hellfire. Also, it is humiliating. Why? Because they will be returned to the punishment again and again. And they will never be taken out of it. And along with the physical punishment, they will also be rebuked. They will also be reproached. I've quoted to you several ayahs before about how the people of hellfire will pray, will ask the angels over there that they should be taken out of the hellfire, that the punishment should be brought to an end. What will they be told? Did the messengers not come to you? Did you not know? So this humiliation is the physical punishment as well as the rebuke, as well as the reproach that they will be given. So what lessons do we learn from this verse? The first lesson is that a person's arrogance hinders him from accepting the truth. Arrogance hinders a person from accepting the truth. Just as the love of dunya is very dangerous, similarly arrogance is also very dangerous. Also we learn that another thing that prevents a person from accepting the truth is jealousy. Jealousy also prevents a person from accepting the truth. Another lesson that we learn from this verse is that it is necessary upon a person that he recognizes the truth through the truth itself. That a person recognizes the truth through the truth itself and not through the person who is presenting the truth. Many times, what our mother is saying to us or what our younger sister is telling us is that which is correct. But what do? We don't accept it. Why? Because she is telling me. And I don't listen to her. Even if what they're telling us is the truth. Even if what they're telling us is the best option. But we don't accept it. Why? Simply because they're the ones who are telling us. So similarly, the Bani Israel, they recognized the Quran. They knew it was the truth. But they didn't accept it. Why? Because who was presenting it to them? Somebody from Banu Ismail. So we learn from this that truth should be recognized through the truth itself, not through the person who is presenting the truth. Similarly, sometimes people don't listen to certain scholars or certain speakers. Why? Because they mention something that you disagree with, or they mention something that you don't like, or their way of explaining things is something that you disagree with. And what do? You deprive yourself of the benefit that they could bring you. Right? Whenever we're listening to others, don't see who is speaking. Think about what is it that they're saying. Our focus should be on the message, not the person. Our focus should be on the message, not the person. Also, we learn from this verse that knowledge is a great fadl of Allah. Because Allah says, أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ upon whomsoever He wills. So fadl is knowledge, prophethood. So we learn that knowledge is a great favor of Allah. And when a person is given this fadl, when a person is given this huge favor, he should be grateful. عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. He should remain an abd. He should show more ibadah. He should do more ibadah. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he was given the Qur'an, as we discussed earlier as well, that he would stand up in prayer for hours and hours to the point that his feet would swell. And the people would say, why do you do that? You know, your sins have been forgiven. Why do you do that? What would he say? What was his response? Should I not be a grateful servant? For what? For this blessing, for this huge favor. So now that we are also being given the Qur'an, now that we are also learning the Qur'an, what should we do? Be grateful for this great favor. Also, we learn from this verse that more sins incur more punishment. فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ. They incurred anger upon anger. Why? Because of doing one wrong deed after another wrong deed. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ. And when it is said to them, when it is said to them, who does them refer to? The Bani Israel. Who says to them? The speaker is not mentioned over here. Why? To indicate that no matter who tells them, whether it is the Prophet of Allah, whether it is something that is mentioned in the Quran, whether it is any ordinary person, or it is a person from amongst them, no matter who says to them, just as we learned about the hypocrites, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ. So similarly, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, when it is said to them, آمِنُوا, believe, in what? بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ, in that which Allah has revealed. What is it that Allah has revealed? Over here it refers to the Qur'an. So when they're told, believe in what Allah has revealed, what is their response? قَالُوا, they say, نُؤْمِنُوا, we believe, بِمَا, in that which أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا. We believe in only that which was revealed upon us. What do they mean by this? That we believe only in the Torah. Because the Qur'an has been revealed to the Banu Ismail, it has been revealed to the Arabs, it is only for the Arabs, it is not for us. Have you heard this? This is exactly what the Bani Israel said at the time of the Prophet ﷺ as well. You see, the mentality has not changed, despite 1400 years having passed. So they would say, نُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا. We only believe in that which has been sent to us. وَيَكْفُرُونَ, Allah tells us that they disbelieve. What do they disbelieve in? بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ, in that which is besides it. The word وَرَاء is from the root letters وَاو رَا يَ. وَاو رَا يَ. And the word وَرَاء is used in different ways. Sometimes it gives a meaning of in front of, other times it gives a meaning of behind, and sometimes it gives a meaning of besides, other than. It gives a meaning of besides or other than. So over here, بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ, وَرَاء means besides it or after it. وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ. They disbelieve in that which is besides the Torah or in that which was sent after the Torah. So what's the first meaning? Any other book other than the Torah, they don't believe in it. What's the second meaning? That any other book that was revealed after the Torah, they don't believe in it. So for example, they disbelieved in the Quran, they disbelieved in the Injil. وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ. Allah says, وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ. Well, the reality is that it is the truth. What is the truth? The Quran is the truth. What Allah has sent down is the truth. And this truth is مُصَدِّقًا. It confirms لِمَا مَعْهُمْ, for that which is with them. It confirms the book that is with them. So in other words, the Quran is not something new. The message of the Quran is not something new. The message is the same. If you believe in the Torah, then you should believe in that which confirms the Torah, in that which conveys the same message. وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعْهُمْ. Now they say over here that we only believe in the Torah. Right? This is their claim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions their claim. Do you really believe in the Torah? No, you don't. Why? Allah questions them. فَقُلْ, say, فَلِمَ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. Then why is it that you killed the messengers of Allah? لِمَ. لِمَ is a combination of لِ and مَا. لِ means for, and مَا means what. So لِمَ, for what? Meaning for what reason? Why? What is the reason for doing this? And remember that li and ma, when they come together, the alif of ma is erased. Okay? So, falima, meaning why, for what reason, taqtuluna anbiya Allah. Why is it that you killed the prophets of Allah min qablu before? Before when? Before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In kuntum mu'mineen, if you're truly believers. What does it mean by this? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is refuting them. They said that we only believe in the Torah. Allah questions them, do you really believe in the Torah? You don't. Why? Because the Torah was brought by who? By Musa alayhi salam. And after Musa alayhi salam, who was sent? Many, many messengers. And all of these messengers, what did they tell the Bani Israel? They brought them back to the Torah. They reminded them of the teachings of the Torah. They said, look, this is what your book says. Follow the book. Remember, all of these messengers who came after Musa alayhi salam, they didn't bring a new revelation. They didn't bring a new way of life. They reminded the Bani Israel of what they were supposed to follow. They revived the teachings of the Torah. And when they did that, what did the Bani Israel do? They either disbelieved in the messengers, or they killed the messengers. So what is the reason for their having killed the messengers? The messengers reminded them of what is in the Torah. So Allah says, if you really believe in the Torah, why did you kill the messengers? Why did you kill the messengers? Because the messengers only told you what was in the Torah. Also, this has been said for another reason, which is that killing anyone unjustly, especially the messengers, was forbidden. And this was stated in the Torah. So you say that you believe in the Torah, then how come you went against the teachings of the Torah? You say that you believe in the Torah. How come you went against the teachings of the Torah? So they say, we only believe in the Torah. Allah says, no, you don't even believe in the Torah. The reality is that you don't accept the truth. You don't like the truth. It doesn't suit your desires, which is why you deny it. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ اسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ بَلْ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَقَلِيلًا مَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ كِتَابٌ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَهُمْ وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ بئس ما اشتروا به أنفسهم أن يكفروا بما أنزل الله بغيا أن ينزل الله من فضله على من يشاء من عباده فباءوا بغضب على غضب وللكافرين عذاب مهين وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا بما أنزل الله قالوا نؤمن بما أنزل علينا ويكفرون بما وراءه وهو الحق مصدقا لما معهم قُلْ فَلِمَ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَبْلُ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ
Did you notice something? The characteristic of the Qur'an being a musaddiq is mentioned so many times, over and over again. Why? Because the Qur'an confirms the truthfulness of the previous books. And that is the greatest evidence of the truthfulness of the Qur'an. It is the greatest proof of the truthfulness of the Qur'an. So if the Qur'an is a musaddiq, then why wouldn't you believe in the Qur'an? Also, one more thing that I want you to notice over here is that who is directly being addressed in these verses? The Bani Israel at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But did they kill the messengers of Allah before? No. It was their forefathers. Wasn't it? So how come they're being told, why did you kill the prophets? They didn't actually kill the prophets. It was their forefathers who did. Why are they being reproached? Because they were doing the same thing by attempting to kill the Prophet ﷺ. And also because the Bani Israel were very proud of the wrong actions that their forefathers had done. Remember that if a person approves of an action that was done, although he did not do it himself, but he just approves of that action, it is as though he has done it himself. If it is a good action, then he is rewarded for it. If it is a bad action, then he gets the sin for it. So over here, the Bani Israel at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they're being told, why? Because they approved the actions of their forefathers. And they followed the same ways. They also themselves tried to kill the Prophet ﷺ many, many times. Do you have any questions or anything about this lesson? If the Torah was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how come it is different today? We learned earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah that the scholars of the Bani Israel, what would they do? يُحَرِّفُونَهُ. They would alter the words of the book of Allah. And remember that alteration is done in two ways. First of all, by changing the words themselves. Some words are removed, other words are put. Literally the text is edited. You know how if there's a passage, if there's a paragraph, if there's an essay and you edit it, what do? You remove one paragraph, you remove one sentence, you put another in its place, you change the words, you change the examples. That's exactly what they did with the book. And the second type of alteration of the book is that you change the meaning. So this is why it is different. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.